discussed the introduction to Pidgin HaBen, and we went through the various parshios in the Torah, Parshas Bo and Bamidbar, and Korach and Mishpatim, and we noted the different treatments of the mitzvah of Pidgin HaBen. Number one, that there's Kiddush Bechoros as well as Pidgin Bechoros, and number two, that we have different emphases. You have the emphasis of Makas Bechoros and the Nes of Makas Bechoros and Parshas Bo. And it's unclear whether that's related to the Avoda Al Yidei Bechoros, and it's certainly unclear whether that's related to Pidyon Halaviyim. That's a debate among the Mefarshim. Then you have the Chiluf Leviyim emphasis with the Leviyim in Parshas Bamidbar. And then you have the Matnas Kuhuna idea, both in Mishpatim and in Korach, with different emphasis in Mishpatim Titein Li, and the emphasis in Korach being Matnas Kuhuna. And then we went through also the different formulations of Sefer HaMitzvos, which psukim do they use, what the relationship is between the Kiddush and the Pidyon, and we went also to a little bit of discussion about the Tekes, by Bais Tvei, and the role of the mother, the role of the Kohen, etc. Okay, the last thing we were discussing was what kind of halacha Pidyon HaBen was, and we used the Ramah's view of Shlichus to highlight that. That's what I want to pick up with very quickly, and then I want to break it down into some of its components. The Ramah has this big chiddush, as we explained, that there's no shlichos for Pidyon HaBen. That the father has to do it directly. That's what he says here in Simin Shin Hei, Sif Yud, very end. It's based on a tshuva of the Rivash. By those who dispute his interpretation of the tshuva of the Rivash, but that is what the Ramah says. That's how the Ramah read it, which is no small matter. It turns out that according to the Ramah, we would characterize here the Ein Ha'av Yachal Liftos Ha'idei Shliach Gam Ein Bezdin Podemos Ha'Belo Ha'av. According to the Ramah, it turns out that Pidyon HaBen isn't just about making sure the Kohen gets a payment. No one would deny that a Matnas Kahuna in general it's Nitan Ha'idei Shlichos. A Chov, Piron Achov certainly can be Ha'idei Shliach, but there's a personal element of Pidyon. Even if there's a personal element of Pidyon, one might have said it's still Nitan Ayidei Shliach. But in the other direction, if you say that there is no Shlichos, then certainly what we're saying is that there's a personal element of Hafrasha and Pidyon. That's the view of the Rabbah. And what we pointed out was that the Rabbi Kivager says there are two dinim. After all, he's bothered by the question, if Matano Manas Lahakzir, if you can say I'm giving to the Kohen, but on condition that he return it to me, if you can impose a condition, so kol she'eshon b'shlichus she'eshon b'tanai, kol she'en b'shlichus she'en b'tanai. So apparently there is shlichus Pidyon HaBen, and Rabbi Kivager makes a distinction between the Maisa Afrasha and the Nesinas HaKesef L'Kohen, are two dinim. The question then becomes, are these two separate dinim, two separate requirements, Afrasha and Nesina, or are they all part of one process, but maybe they work differently in terms of the shliach? And then we had the Gra, who took the opposite view of the Ramah, and who said that no, basically all there is like a chov bialma, it's like being podeh, maiser sheni, or hekdesh, or being porea bal chov, and the fact that there are shibudim, that a person's property is mortgaged to the payment of Pidyon HaBen, for the Gra, that proves that this is a chiyuv mamon. If it's a chiyuv mamon, then certainly it's nitan al-yidei shlichos. Not only is it nitan al-yidei shlichos, but the Gra is b'chadish further, that somebody else, even who's not a shliach, somebody wants to do the Pidyon HaBen for me, he can do it. He can do it. And perhaps not even al-yidei zachin. The important thing is that the Kohen get his money. That's what he says. Kol zeh utamua, lo nibay yidei shlichos shukham kemoso, ela acher yochal liftos afilu below data shal avd, lo adfi maizah sheni. Again, Maisa Sheni and Hektish, there's no concept of Bailim. There is, but it's a Chalos Bailim. You don't need Bailim for Hektish and Maisa Sheni. If something is Maisa Sheni and you want to be Poda, or it's Hektish and you want to be Poda, then that's between you and the Maisa Sheni and the Hektish. The Gra is suggesting that the requirement here is that there be a payment to a Kohen on behalf of this particular Bechor. Who actually makes it is irrelevant, so the Gra is the opposite of the Ramah. I should just mention that there are some other issues as well. So one of the questions, yeah.
Within the Gra, can you say that there would be one side that said that you would be chayav. If the other person takes your mitzvah, you'd be chayav for doing it, and the other side saying not, depending on how extreme the mitzvah is imposed.
So one more time?
When you take someone else's mitzvah, even if it's chal, right, you're still sometimes a fee.
He doesn't even relate to it in that terms, the grub. We'll get to that in a second, but I mean, this idea, like, of the Nichle Le'inish, or the Gemara Nadarim, it talks about, you know, whether you can be mafresh, trumas, and maestros to someone else. Is that considered zachin? So the Gemara says, you know what, maybe Nichle Le'inish, La'avid, the mitzvah, the mamone. He prefers to do the mitzvah with his own money and get the schar and everything himself. The grub doesn't even seem to be focused on that at all. The grub has this line that it's like, chov bi'alma. Second. Seems like he thinks that gviya mimshubadim is an impersonal gviya anyway. I'll have to explain that in a minute. Well, why does the Gemara think that? It's still mishubadim, it's still nechasim that belong to the father or to the son. So why does gviya minechasim mishubadim prove that you can be gviya from a third party even without shlichas? What? Okay, so it depends how Arev works, right? Meaning the Arev is paying. So it could be that Gra has a very, you know, exaggerated view, or not exaggerated, but he has a, let's say, a very clear view from his point of view, that an Arev really is a third party, rather than Arev being a stand-in for the Lova. So what is the status of a guarantor? That's a big machlokes generally, right? Why is an Arev chayiv? Those explain that Arev is a third party, and it's Bahi Ana that the other guy trusts him. That's how they explain the Gemara in the Rambam Basra, that the hana that that he derives, the fact that people trust him, is what is mechayev him, but he's mechayev as a third party. He's not a representative of the Lova. Others say, no, that's not the pshat at all. The Lova has an arev. The arev is the bok koak, it's just the extension of the Lova. The Gemara says, vahi hana, etc. That Gemara Bava Masra refers to why every Arev is not a case of Asmachta. So he's not really serious. He doesn't mean it. No, Bahiyana, he means it. But the way that it works isn't because of Bahiyana. It's not a third party. He is the Lova. He's a continuation of the Lova. And there are all sorts of Nafkamina. They discuss it a lot in the context of Kiddushin, by Mekadesh of the Arev, Mekadesh with the money, Mekadesh with the Hana, things of that sort. So maybe the Gra here is saying that you know, that this, he's an Arev, and Arev is a third party, so there's no difference between this and another third party. But certainly that isn't Mukhrak. I mean, certainly one could say that this is an extension of the Lova, and that's what Shibudim really are. They're my property, they were my property. And even if you say about a person Arev, you know, that he's a third party, it's quite possible that the property that you possessed, which was mortgaged, which works me did Arev, is certainly considered extension, a diluted extension of yourself. So it's not so simple with the Gra says, and we'll get back to it in a couple of minutes. It would be better if the Gra himself didn't happen to think that Shibudim apply to many mitzvahs. But as happens, the Gra, Nuchas Tzedakah, happens to think that you know, that many mitzvahs generate a Shibud. That's not so consistent with the Gra here. We'll get back to that. Okay. The I said this raises the question: to what extent we're dealing with Isur Mamo, another issue, one which the Gemara itself seems to grapple with. On the one hand, we say Motzim Mechaver Olav Araya when it comes to Pidgin Aben, and there are very few exceptions to that. Hopefully on Wednesday we'll have a chance, I hope, to speak about that a little bit as well. There's a debate between the Ram and the Ravid. You know, when are there any exceptions to saying Motzim Mechaver Olav Araya in Pidgin Aben? Let's say if it's a Svek Sveka, and how do you define Svek Sveka? So there's an interesting exchange between the Ram and the Ravid. I hope we'll get to it. Perek Yud Aleph Bikurim, Halacha, I think, Chafei and Lamed, are the two Ram and the Ravids, where they debate that point. But generally speaking, Motzim Mechamel of Araya is the operative term. We don't say Safek Iser, Safek Mitzvah, Lechumra, generally. I mentioned that the Marid Al-Ghazi thinks that whenever there's a Safek, you should at least have a Hafrasha. But he gets that from the Rosh on Mem Zayin Ud Beis, who says that in the case of a Cholol, the son of a Kohen, you have a Kohen who has a child who's a Cholol, who's Chayim B'Pidgin Aben, so it's possible that he'll just be Mafrish and nothing more. So the Ridal Ghazi says, according to the Rosh anyway, if that's true, So maybe they should always do that every time there's a safek, a pigeon, a bet. But the pashtus, that's not true. We say motzah mechamel of araya. And there's no reason to be mafresh either. Meaning we treat it as a safek mamon from beginning to end, except if there's a safek sveka, maybe the Rambam and Raibid cases. And as we already noted, that's also the bane of the Gemara. And the Gemara talks about being poda la'achar, alifnei lamed yom for la'achar lamed yom. And the Gemara says that it's a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. And the Gemara says we paskin like Shmuel. We paskin like Shmuel, even though we normally paskin like. This is the Gemara in Mem Tesamid base. So the Gemara says, "The Afagav de Kaimelon de Kol Hecha de Pligi Rav Shmuel Hilchos a Karav Suri Ukeshmuel Bedini Hacha Hilchos a Kavase de Shmuel." So according to this is the Girsa that we have in our Gemara. According to this Girsa, basically what we're saying is that Pidgin Aben is Isure, not Mamona. Because we're saying normally we should paskin like Rav, because we paskin like him be Isur, but this is an exception, we paskin like Shmuel. It's hard to know whether or not to focus on the problem or the solution. But the simple reading of the Gemara is, this is even though this is Isure, we still paskin like Shmuel. Unless you want to say that the Gemara means, and the Marital Gazi is on that Gemara also asked the question, he says, well, what do you mean? Safek motzim mechavel avaraya. It's safek mamon. So you can say maybe that's what the Gemara means. Even though there's a mitzvah involved here, we paskin like Shmuel because it's a mitzvah through his mamon, and therefore it's motzim mechavero all avaraya. That's what the Gemara means. Or is the Gemara saying it's isure, but we just happen to have a mesorah that we paskin like Shmuel in this particular case? Either way, it's interesting to note that the Rambam probably did not have this whole line in the Gemara. Why do I say that? Because the Rambam, pretty much Yachid among the Rishonim, paskins like Rav in this case. This is the Gemara that wants to know whether or not you can be podeh, a podeh is b'no b'toch lamed yom. So Rav said b'no padui, Shmuel am ein b'no padui. So the Rambam paskins that b'no, like Rav, that b'no padui, even though the Gemara seems to say explicitly that we paskin like Shmuel. So the Rambam possibly didn't have this line in the Gemara, or he thought it was overridden by other Gemaras in which we keep encountering a motzi mechavero alavaraya, which would seem to say that this is dine mamonis and not iser. Either way, the Rambam paskin, again, there's a certain irony. On the one hand, the Gemara doesn't say explicitly, if the Rambam doesn't have the girsas, then the Gemara doesn't say explicitly that it's iser. On the other hand, the fact is that the Rambam paskin is like Rav. So, just like we weren't sure. Not that I'm aware of on this point. Not that I'm aware of. I mean, there's no Yerushalmi in Bechoros, as you know, but maybe elsewhere. Maybe it's something to look at. The fact is, so it's a double-edged sword. I mean, you know, for the other Rishonim who paskin like Shmuel, it seems like we paskin like Shmuel even though it's Iser. For the Rambam, we paskin like Rav, so is that because, yeah, it's Iser, and therefore we should paskin like Rav? Or is it because he just doesn't have that line, and therefore there's no Gemara that says that this is Iser?
How are Sakhan inconsistent? The Motzim of Gemara and Lavaraya in this one? Are they?
Not necessarily. I mean, they're two different. Motzim of Gemara and Lavaraya is a case where we're not sure there's a Chiyu Pidyon. Here the question is not whether there's a Chiyu, that's whether you're obligated at all. Here the question is, Lahalacha, you know, if you're poda toch lamed yom v'desach l'amos, whether that is a pidyon or not.
Right.
We don't have to necessarily apply much of a riot to that.
If we feel that like a sura, then you should expect that there is obviously I'm simplifying a little bit, but...
Right, so obviously what seems to be going on here is that what I'm trying to bring out is that there's conflicting evidence. Do we have this line? How do we understand it if we have it? The Rambam either didn't have it or went against it. What I'm trying to say is, it's very brought out very sharply, I think, by the Gra. I mean, the Gra is saying this is you're paying a chov, you know. And Rital Ghazi, on the other hand, is saying whenever you have a suffix, it should be mafresh. So those are the extremes. The in between seems to be, even if this is a mitzvah, but it's a mitzvah which, you know, the details of which are defined by Mamono. It's a mitzvah which you're mekayim through hey slaim shel pidyon haben. That's the answer to the gra, and to the and in the Gemara here. In other words, what are the answer to the gra? Good, the shibudim, fine. But that doesn't mean, because of shibudim, doesn't mean that a third party can do it without your consent, as we pointed out before. Not an arev general necessarily, and certainly not in shibudim. And moreover, doesn't prove that it's pure mamon either. It just means that this maisa mitzvah, this dvar yisur, is accomplished through the means of mamon. So you have to play out motzei mechavel avaraya before you get to the safek yisur. It's just like mashal madover doma. You know, people ask this question about Gezel. Right? That's a big discussion of the Achronim. I think Rav Shimon Shkap made it even bigger, but Kutz HaSfekos, I think, asked it originally. Namely, in Dine Gzela, do you say Motzim Mechaber Olav Araya when there are Sfekos, or not? After all, it's an Iser Lo Sigzel, Lo Signovo. Where you have this overlap between Mitzvah or Iser and Mamon, Bederach Mamon, in other words, so it's quite possible that the, you know, the process, integrity of the process, demands that it play itself out on the level of the mechanism, you know, even though it's really predominantly defined as a dvar mitzvah and a dvar iser. I think that's the answer. I mean, everybody's looking to, again, give another example. I mean, some people are very bothered by this gra. So it's according to the gra, it's chov, gra says chov bialma, right? And then it's shibud. So according to the gra, how can you have any of the qualifications in pidyon, for example, we say chamesh shloim velo chatzi chamesh. Right, it's machlokas in the Gemara. We discussed it a little bit last time, right? So the Bali Tosfos already point out where does this idea come from? Chatzi chamesh. It's a very peculiar idea. We have such a phenomenon when it comes to chiyuv dalad v'hei. Right, so those who are learning Meruba. So Dalad Vehe Om Rachmana Velo Chatzi Dalad Vehe. Okay, good. So if you have you know, if you're a shutuf in the Dalad Vehe with somebody who's a part owner, so he doesn't have like he inherited from his father part of it. So there's no you know, there's no Chatzi Dalad Vehe. But as Rishonim and Achronim point out, that's a knas. You know, Dalad Vehe is already, you did the Shkita and the Tzvicha and the Davar HaGazel, no one's losing money here. It's not a chov. It's a knas. So the chiv knas is all or nothing. But if we're talking about Chamesh Shloim, the pidyon haben, but you only have four, why shouldn't you give what you owe? You owe the Kohen five. So because you can't give him five, you can't, shouldn't give him two or three? Right? Moreover, the Mishnah says you can give to more than one Kohen. You can split it up to more than one coin. So you can split up more than one coin. Why shouldn't you also just be give what you can? Why do you need the full amount? The idea that you need the full amount and that you compare it to something like Dalad Vehe, which is a knas, all point in the direction that it isn't a chov bialma. Like, because anytime, if I owe you $100, so until I can muster all 100, I don't have to pay you a penny. Right? I owe you the money, and the time has come to pay you, so I have to give you what I have, and then I owe you the rest. No one's going to say until you accumulate the full amount, you're under no obligation. Doesn't make sense. In a knas, it makes sense because it's an asina, right? It's not about a hefset. It's not a chiyuv. So pidyon haben, and pidyon haben, it's not like, you know, oh, the special zeres hakasuv that even the masina of pidyon haben, you know, requires hay. No, because it's going to be asina to five different kohanim. You can give one to each kohen. Doesn't matter. As long as mitzidcha, it's hay. So apparently, even according to the Gra is not going to deny these halachos that are explicit in the Gemara. Or, for example, another question that people ask against the Gra is the other limitations. The Mishnah says you can't be poda unless it's a davar she, you know, shemetalta v'gufa mamon. You can't be poda b'shtar, you can't be poda b'karka, right? So why not? If it's a chov bialma, you can be, on the contrary, the whole point of the grows that there are shibudim. Shibudim is karka. So the Farshim point out, you have to, when you use shibudim, what you have to do is you have to sell the karka, you know, turn it into the taltalin, and then do the maisa pidyon haben. The Gra doesn't deny that. I mean, that's explicit. You can't be poda bekarka. You can't be poda b'shtar. So what's the Gra going to say? It's chol b'alma. So even the Gra must understand that while it is essentially a mitzvah of a pigeon, then what he is saying is that it's apparently that it's after we read the Gra that it's so dominated by the tochen of this mitzvah of this chiv nesina is that we treat it al pidin like a chov. So then you can have your cake and eat it too. In other words, there's a way to do the hafrasha and to do the nesina. But as far as the question, the only thing that you know that I think is somewhat arbitrary. But he was saying is you certainly don't need shlichos, and you don't even need das. You just need that there be a pidyon, that the predominant dinei mamon is part of it, dictates that these other things fine are necessary as part of the ma'isa nesina, the definition of nesina, but not mina bailam dafka. Why he thinks that the mominous predominant emphasis precludes that, but doesn't preclude some of these other things, I'm not sure. I'm reconstructing backwards. Or forgive us, give another example that bothered Achronim, and that is the din which we're going to discuss in a couple of minutes, you know, Kedimas Beno or Atzma. If he has to be Poda himself, because his father didn't do the job, or couldn't do the job, and he has to be Poda as Beno, what comes first? So I've seen it. Karen Orr or somebody, I remember, who asked the question: if you hold like the Gra Chov Bialma, you know, so who cares? I mean, the Kohen or Shevet Kahuna is owed 10 slime from this guy, 5 for his son, and 5 for himself. His debt is 10. So it matters whether or not and he can only pay 5. So it matters whether the 5 is earmarked for him or for the neighbor or for the son. Well, why should it make a difference? The Gemara ends up saying, Rabbi Yirmiyah, that I'm only talking about a case where there's Mishubadim, there's 5 Bnei Chorin and 5 Mishubadim. We'll get to that in a second. But even before the Rabbi Yirmiyah, the simple reading of the Mishnah is that there's a Machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda, what is it, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda? Who liftos and no liftos? This is Mem Tesam and Aleph. Who kodom lubno? That's the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, b'no kodmo, shemitzvaso al aviv mitzvah b'no alav. So until you get to Rabbi Yirmiyah, sounds like it's a machlokes. So the question people ask is, the more, if you think this is just a chiyuv b'alma, it's a chov, so what difference does it make? The $5 has his name on it, or everybody agrees you have to do both.
The grass emphasis on mamon doesn't preclude the fact that when it comes to payment, there could be hierarchy in terms of, it's true that Shevet and Levi is a 10 slime, but
right.
Tosis makes this distinction between the Defsei Av and Defsei Aben anyway.
Tosis for technical reasons, we'll get to that.
But, I mean,
you're talking about Tosfot Memtesu base.
Yeah, so I mean, like, you know, it's totally plausible to say that sure there are 10 slime at the end of the day, but the 5 slime that the father owes comes first. In other words, Mamon doesn't say anything about sequence.
Well, it's not sequence in. Are you talking about sequence in the Zman HaShibud?
No, not necessarily.
It seems like we're talking about sequence. We're talking about priority. Right, so I'm saying the pashtus of the Gra, I don't happen to think it's such a terrible question, but I'm saying is people are bothered by this Gra because he says chov bialmo, and it doesn't have to come from the father at all. The Kohanim need to get their money. You could read the Gra as saying the Kohanim need to get their money, and therefore, even if the father doesn't know anything about it, even if the father doesn't want it, it doesn't matter. If somebody wants to pay them, as long as the Kohanim have their $10, their 5 slime for each child, that's what's important.
Right, I think that's
so. Then when you ask the question about the father's priority, you're not talking about Shibudim anymore. You're not talking about Shibudim. That's Sarah. I'm not talking about Rabbi Yirmiyah. The guy has just, who comes first? So one could have said, it's a non-starter question. This guy has a $10 debt to the Kohanim. Let him pay his debt, or let somebody pay his debt for him. What I'm saying is, apparently the Gra will also have to be Moda, just like he has to be Moda for the other reasons that we just discussed. Namely, and why not pay the debt if they need their money? Why do we care how they get it? Why do we care whether it's Chamesh Soim or Chatzi Chamesh? Let him get whatever he wants. Whatever he can, I should say. And let it be Al Yidei Shtar. Let it be Al Yidei Karka. Right? Apparently there is a Maisa Pidgin. Without saying that, then it's a, I think it's a strong question. Where does Av Bno come into the question? It's neither of them. You're saying now is partly what I'm saying. You're saying, well, just because it translates into Mammon, and Mammon even plays a role in, after that translation, that doesn't mean that there isn't a Yoredeia side and a definitional side, which includes things like priority. 100%, that's what we're saying. But one could have read the Gra, that, especially that line, Chovi al Mammon, Shibud. One could have said, that means there's no Afrasha, there's no Pidgeon, there's Chov. I mean, Mashal Ma'adav Adam, I'll give you another example of it. It's also a very important example, other example. Tzedakah. Right? The Rishonim who have very strong formulations that Tzedakah is like a Baal Chov. It's like a Chiyu of Chov. The Ritzvah in a few places. In Baal Basa, Dav Ches, and in Ksuvis, whatever it is, Mem Zayin, or that Daf is. I think it's Mem Zayin. They talk about Kfiya, the Radvaz in Hilchos Matnas Aniyim, Perek Zayin Halacha Yud. You owe the ani like a balchov, like a loaf, like he lent you money, right? But the fact is, it's not so simple. I mean, he didn't lend you money. Number one, there are priorities in tzedakah, you know. Also, ani yircha, ani mishpacha, ani yerushalayim. You know, if everybody's a balchov, and we don't treat him like a balchov. Koladvarim, really. Not only that, tzedakah includes aspects that are not financial. How you treat him. It all seems to be part of the mitzvah of tzedakah, not some just separate tilchos deos. The Ram has, you know, hierarchy. You give it to him, you know, beseser, you give it to him beseser panim yafos. It doesn't seem like these are just, you know, in the context of doing the mitzvah, also be a good guy, a nice guy. This is what sounds like these are actually dinei tzedakah. And yet, some of the Rishonim have this strong formulation. The answer is that too is subsumed under the Yoredeia. Again, tzedakah is a Yoredeia halacha. The Rabbi Shulchan Aruch put it in Yoredeia. Sanach Chosh HaMishpah. That's his pidgin aben Sanach Chosh HaMishpah. I don't think it's a steer at all. I'm just saying the means, what they're trying to say is that for certain dinim, the components, the token, we treat it as a chiyuv mamon. We treat it as a chiyuv mamon within the context of the mitzvah and the chiyuv. That mitzvah and the chiyuv, then it becomes tricky indeed, very subtle. You know, which are the chiyuv and mitzvah concessions, and which are the, you know, tochen, bederech, ki'ilu, you know, this imaginary chiyuv mamon elements. That is, I think, a good part of the story of Hilchos Tzedakah. And I think, you know, since we don't have time to do everything, it's a good part of the story of Hilchos Pidgin Aben as well. So the Gra, instead of being a problem, I think just highlights that in a very, very dramatic way. Okay. In terms of the shlichus issue itself, let me just speak about that for a couple more minutes. There are other issues that the poskim here speak about. I mentioned the Taz and the Shach. Just shortcut some of the later discussions. The Taz says that he thinks that the Rama is wrong. You could point a Shliach. As I mentioned last time, only while the father is alive. Yeah.
When you talk about the tzad yisur as opposed to the tzad mamon,
yeah.
I mean, presumably we could mean very, very different things, but I don't think it's entirely clear what the yisur would be here. We could talk about the mevat, you know, the bittul asay. We could talk about the fact that the kohen isn't getting his money related to the mamon. We could talk about something in the light of the cheskuni nisforno regarding the child itself, and how he's in a state that he shouldn't be in, and he won't be able to do regular everyday things. So what exactly? I just think it's a very important. What exactly do you mean?
Right, I think, I mean, whether or not it's a mitzvah, within the tzad isur, or whatever you want to call it, or the nature of the mitzvah, whether it's, we still have to discuss whether it's a mitzvah of nesina, or afrasha, or kabbalah, I think that's what you're asking, whether there's still an element of chiluf, kedusha, or not. We'll see some of these things as we go forward. But all I'm saying is that if you were to make it into a pure chovas mamon, even one she'etila alavatara, which some people take the Gra as saying, because he does use very strong language, if you were to say that, then all these things would be problematic. I agree that within the worldview that there's a mitzvah which is done through the mechanism of viewing this as a kind of a chov, there's still a lot of flexibility in terms of what that means. Is it just afrasha? See in a minute. Just afrasha, is it nesina? Is it also kabbalah? Is it chiluf? Well, some of the things we've seen already, some of the things we'll see more. In just a few minutes. Okay. As I say, the Taz has this view that shlichus is possible when the father's alive, but not after he dies. The grandfather can't come into the picture. The bezin can't come into the picture. That's the view of the Taz. Now, the reason that that's so, according to the Taz, is for technical reasons. And that is because of nichale le'inish li'avid mitzvah b'mamono. And therefore, it's not z'chus gemura, he says, based on the Gemara in the Darim. And if it's not z'chus gemura, so you can't do that for a katan. For a gadol, you can be zachen adam shalom b'fanav, you know, even if it's not a z'chus gemura. But for a katan, you need more. Dafka b'kagamna d'isa gabe ger she'in shim chov ba'olam avle meish b'ilik tzatz chov v'legabe gadol o'chashvina lay kibed yesh yosher z'chus mikol mokam gabe katan nor minu d'yachal asal shliach ele b'z'chus gamor. Why that's so is not for us right now. That, you know, the idea that Zachin works differently in Katan and in Gadol, but that's the view of the Taz. And below Diktek Yafe, Lilmod Mala Nidon Didan, Sheish Baktsa Schova, and that's his view. Therefore, he says the grandfather, the Bezdin, all of them will have to wait until he is a Gadol for Shlichos or Zachia to work. And the Taz and the Kudus HaKasef, I mean the Shach and the Kudus HaKasef argues on several levels. Number one, I'm not going to go through all things, it's a very long piece. Number one, is not sure whether it's true that Katan requires Chuz Gemura for the Zachin LeKatan. Number two, he's not sure whether this isn't a Chuz Gemura, that maybe the Gemara rejected the idea of Avid Nichla Le'inish La'Avid Mitzvah B'Mamono. He has several reasons in which he argues. Moreover, he says when it comes to Bezdin in particular, so Bezdin Hefker, so they take the money, and the money that they have, and they're makne that money to the katan. So the katan is actually being, his own money is being used for his pigeon abed. So it's really avidlei, because he's also mitzvah b'mamono. So that objection shouldn't apply to Bezdin. That's the Shach's argument against the Taz. So there's some interesting arguments here about zechia in general, and zechia b'katan, and what's defined as chov gamor, and Bezdin's intervention, how it works, etc. But I think it's possible to suggest another point of controversy, even though they don't flesh it out, and that is the question of the child's chiyuv. Is there a chiyuv of the child to be poda es atzmo at all before his bar mitzvah if there's no father? Father died, right? Child is a katan. Both the Taz and the Shach seem to be assuming there is a chiyuv pidyon atzmo. The problem is, you know, whether it can be implemented by his grandfather, by somebody else, by Bezdin. It's possible that the whole chiyuv doesn't exist until the child is bar mitzvah. This depends on the question of the relationship between father and son's chiyuv, possibly. Not necessarily, we'll explain that in a couple of minutes, but at least this is an open and an important question. The Minchas Chinuch has a question, what if the katan, either his nechasim, the fellow grabbed nechse hakatan, the kohen grabbed the nechse hakatan, or the katan willingly paid the kohen, would it be chal, or would you have to do the pidyon abed over again? So it's comparing it to all sorts of issues. On the one hand, if it was a chov, you know, it might be patur, but it is piron achov. On the other hand, if it's a mitzvah, he's lav bar mitzvah. So how can he even be mekayim? That he's not mechuyim is clear, right? That we won't be motzi miyado seems pretty clear. The question is, what if he pays? Is it done or not? So I think that is an important question. When does the chiyuv katan begin? That's partly the question. But part of the question also is, can you have this chova without there being a mitzvah? So that's something to consider seriously. Again, the Bali Tosis on Mem Tesum and Beis, the one that you were actually alluding to, the one that I think Ari was alluding to before, seems to make reference to the, or seem to assume also that nothing begins until after the katan becomes a gadol. It talks about the shibudim, property that he owned before he was a bar mitzvah, wouldn't be mishubad anyway because he's not mechuyev at that point. He seems to assume that the chiyuv begins only later. Okay. So that's one issue, the Taz and the Shach, within the Rambam, within the opposition to the Rambam. The second issue is as follows. The Pesachei Tshuva quotes in the name of HaChacham Milisa, I'm not sure if it's an Asivas or somebody else, that Bezdin Dafka would work here, because since there are Shibudim in Pidgin Aben, and the Shibudim are very strong, so that gives Bezdin the right also to operate on behalf of the Katan. I think that line of the Pesachei Tshuva is very much in line with the Graz type thinking. I mean, the fact that there are Nechasim Meshubadim isn't just a method of Gevia and Pidgin Aben, but it characterizes Pidgin Aben as being more of a Chiyuv Mamon than an Iser. We'll get back to that in a minute. The Nodeb Yehuda in the Dago Mervava in Shulchan Aruch, that's also quoted in Pesachei Tshuva, makes a third distinction. He says, Toch Lamed Yom, there's no shlichus. Even if we paskin that, like Rav would say, that it would work, the Rambam paskins that it would work, if you were poda toch lamed yom, or even in a situation where the money is lo nisachel, let's say you gave money within 30 days, and the money is intact after 30 days. But if you did the pidyon within 30 days, al yidei shliach, the Rabbi Yehuda says, that will not work. It'll only work after. And then he says, of course, it will work in the sense that if you give the money earlier, so then, or if you make the guy a shliach earlier, so then you can say it's not worse than Zachar L'Adam Shalom B'Fanav, and he's revealed that he wants him to do it. Right. But as shlichus, at least, he cannot appoint a shliach within 30 days, even to give the money lachar lamed yom. He would have to appoint him only after lamed yom. So, of course, this highlights another issue which we're going to discuss, which is, within 30 days, there's no chiyuv, or there's no chalos at all of Pidgin Aben. Okay, that's an important distinction. Chsam Sofer is quoted by the Pesachei Tshuva as trying to give the following justification for the Ramah. Ramah says you need to do the Pidgin by yourself. Chsam Sofer says, yeah, because Pidgin Aben is connected to the Nes of Makas Bechoros. The Rebbeinu Shalom said, Lo Ayidei Malach, V'lo Ayidei Saraf, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Kvodo V'Atzmo. So the Pidgin Aben has to be done by the Father. That's a pretty wild idea. But the reason I'm quoting it now is I think it highlights at least how some understand that Parsha and Bo isn't just what establishes Ki Li Kol Bechor, which is, you know, the background for Pidgin, but they think that the Mechayiv of Pidgin Aben really is the Hatzalah of Makas Bechoros. That seems to be the idea of the Chsam Sofer. Okay. And then finally, one other distinction, or two other distinctions, and that is, does it matter whether or not if you do Ayidei Shlichos, the money comes from the Shliach or from the Mishaleach? Maybe Mamon HaShliach wouldn't work, because Nichalei Le'inish, or something of that sort. But money of the Mishaleach would work. That's a distinction. Another issue is whether or not there is Shechiyanu, Birchas Hazman. Gemara says in the end of Psachim that we say Birchas Hazman in Pidgin Aben. There's a debate in the Rishonim whether you say Birchas Hazman in a Pidgin Aben L'achar Misas Aben. That's the Rishonim talk about in Ksuvis, when they talk about the question of Shasimcha B'mono, whether you can have Pidgin Aben in a state of sadness or only in a state of Simcha. So they talk about the question of Shechiyanu. But whether there'd be a difference between the Shliach and the Mishaleach, I mean the Father, in saying Birchas Hazman is an important issue. Again, it might highlight that there are two aspects of Pidgin Aben. There's the transaction, we'll call it the Chosha Mishpat part of Pidgin Aben, but that doesn't get a Shechiyanu. That's business as usual. That's paying off a Chol B'Alma. But if you want to do the actual Mitzvah Nesina, Hafrasha, that's already where the personal touch comes in. That's what justifies Birchas Hazman. Okay, so these are some of the distinctions which when we go on in DNA Pidgin of Ben, we'll see some of them at least get elaborated on. Let's move back for a moment, let's go straight now to some of the Gemaras and see how some of these issues play out and how others are affected. So let's begin just very quickly. We already talked about the Gemara here on Mem Zayin of Abitz. Gemara says that Itmar Kohen Shemes V'niach Ben Chalol. If you have a Kohen, so normally the child of a Kohen doesn't get a pigeon of Ben. But if he leaves a Ben Chalol, so the child is like a Zar, like Yisrael, and he's Chayiv a pigeon of Ben from his point of view. But we're told that if that happens, Rav Chizda Amar, a Ben Chayiv Liftos Es Atzmo, Rabba Ravuna Amar, Ein Chayiv Liftos Es Atzmo. There's then a debate whether or not the child of a Kohen, this Cholol child, is Chayiv a pigeon Atzmo or not. So the Gemara says, Kol Echad Meis Av L'Acher Lamed Yom, the kulam lo pligi de ina a dena ben chayv liftos es atzmo shrei zacha ha'av bepidyona. So that's not so obvious. The Gemara says that if it's after lamed yom, certainly there's no requirement of pidyon. So here we encounter again. I don't want to go too much into detail because it's we have to move more quickly. But it's a very very difficult Gemara to read. Very difficult idea. The pashtus, it sounds like what we're being told is that the kohen father has, but ke'ilu is patur or niftar from the chiyuv pidyon aben, which would work very well, I guess, in the extreme version or maybe even the less extreme versions of the gra. In other words, if we say that basically pidyon aben is a chov bialma to shevet kahuna, it's mamana shevet. But when a shevet, you have to give it. So the point is, if the father himself is a Kohen, so there's no problem. Right? The hay sloim, the pigeon aben that he would have to give is already belongs to the bialus of a Kohen. So it's not that he's mafrish and zoche, or ke'ilu mafrish and zoche. He doesn't need to be mafrish because he can be zoche. In other words, if it's a chov to Shevet Kahuna, so that chov is automatically taken care of by the reality of Abba, the father, being a Kohen. That's a simple reading of the Gemara. Rashi does not read it that way, as we noted. Rashi says, Sharei Zocha Av Pidyono, Deinami Yoiv Ha'av, Hava Mafrishle V'Shakar Leilanavshe, the Kohen who, the kivin zoch av pidyono morisho lebno shar nechasav. It's a very difficult Rashi. It's definitely not saying what I just said. What I just said was basically on some level. Let me take a step back. One could have said something even more extreme. You could have said, listen, when you have a child of a kohen or a levi, there's no pidyon of it. Based on the Kal V'Chomer, the Gemara B'Chorah, Saf Dalid, right? When they used to, you know, in the Chiluf Halevi'im, they did one for one. He himself is a Bechor. Bechor himself is a Levi or a Kohen, so he's Nifta Be'atzma. That's the Gemara in Bechor. So one could have said, taking that a little step further, and said, is this a din, this halacha, in the child or in the father? Because in 99% of the cases where you have a child who is a Levi or a Kohen, the father is a Levi and a Kohen. Two, or vice versa, when the father's a Kohen and a Levi, the child's a Kohen and a Levi. Okay. It's a little more complicated than that, because as we know, there are 2 days in the Gemara, but we paskin that a Ben Levi and a Ben Kohenes is also Patur Pidyon Aben, even though the father is a Yisrael. Okay, so that proves definitely that there's a child component to all that, but that doesn't surprise us, really. It may surprise us in terms of Chiluv Kedusha, we discussed that last time, but if we get past that, it doesn't surprise us. The question would be, in the opposite case, where you have a child who is not a Kohen or a Levi, but the father is, what would be the halacha? So maybe on the contrary, maybe the point is that this Kal V'Chomer type halacha goes on the father too. So if the father is a Kohen or a Levi, even if the child is not, no problem. One could have said that. The problem with that is it seems to be seems to be against the Gemara, because the Gemara says, well, it's 100% against the Gemara says that a Kohen is Shenivala, as we discussed, like the Akum, the child is Chayiv a Pidgin Abed. But maybe the father is different than the. Maybe the father is different than the mother. Maybe the father is a Kohen, even if the child is a Yisrael. Maybe there really is no Chiyuv. But the fact is that even if one could say something, it doesn't sound that way in the Gemara. The Gemara here uses the expression of Zocha Liatzmo. Zocha Liatzmo doesn't sound like Mufka min Achiyuv. So it seems like if the father is a Kohen and the child is not, on some theoretical level, there is a Chiyuv pidgin of it.
How can it be the father is a Kohen and the child is not?
The child's a Cholo, is a Cholo.
A cholo, yeah.
Meaning the let's say he's born from a grusha.
Yeah.
The Kohen's still a Kohen.
I understand.
Yeah. So the point is, it does seem that there's some sort of theoretical Chiyuv, but Zocha Biatzmo, the question then is, what is the Zocha Biatzmo? So here I think is where the we just said comes possible. And that is, well, there is a chiyuv, but it's automatically a chiyuv which is niftar, because it's a chiyuv mamon hashevet, and he is mamon hashevet, his bank account is mamon hashevet, so it's there. That's different than saying that there's an invisible hafrasha unasina. What we're saying is there's an invisible chiyuv, or a quick chiyuv, which is niftar, because in dine mamonis, he's zocha biatzmo. Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi says, that I think is a way to read the Gemara, and that would work very nicely, according to the Gra, that it's a chov bi'amal, a shevet kuhuna. It also would work nicely if we emphasize the shevet kuhuna part, and not just to a particular kohen, some kohen among the kohenim who he chooses, but it's a din shevet kuhuna, at least first and foremost. But Rashi, by saying that, ki'ilu, he says, Inami Yahiv Ha'av Hava Mafrish Vishakil Anafshe Duha Kohen, who he mentions Afrasha, and Shakil Anafshe, as opposed to saying Niftar, Vikivin Zacha Bibidyon Marisha Labanam Sharnachasa. And he's Moresh that, again, if the point is that it's done, then he's not Moresh it to the child. It just happened. It's like any other pigeon of Ben that the father took care of. He just took care of it automatically. So Rashi apparently assumes that. It's a very difficult shita, but Rashi basically assumes that even a Kohen would require some abstract hafrasha nesina. He also assumes that if the Kohen dies, even though the Kohen dies after Lamed Yom, it isn't an automatic hafrasha nesina either. He could do hafrasha nesina, and therefore, it sounds like you take the bailus mamon hashevet out of it, since he could do this. That is morish labanav. We point this out last time, right? There's a chiddush here, because in terms of the chiluf kedushas kahuna, the child is not a kohen. So how can it be yoresh from his father? But as a pure dine mamonis, at least, he's yoresh from his father the rights of Shevet Kahuna, and since that's what's happened here, so he can get away with a Hafrasha Bialma. He doesn't have to. Mashal Madav Adoma, that's probably what the Rosh has in mind. Mashal Madav Adoma, like a grandchild who inherits his grandfather's estate. He himself is a Yisrael. His mother is a Kohenes who married a Yisrael. The grandfather's a Kohen, so he inherits Tevel. He has to be metaken the tevel and make it into truma, but he doesn't have to give the truma to a kohen. He can sell it to a kohen. That's exactly what the Rosh says. Rashi and the Rosh probably are operating on the same principle. That is that there are two components here: a dine mamonis and a hafrasha. The dine mamonis part is taken care of even by the non-kohen child in this case, or grandchild. In other cases, that's what's being morish, that's what's being morish lebanav, the right of mamon and shevet kahuna, all that's left is the maisa of Rosh. So Rashi and the Rosh really articulate this idea, there being two dinim, hafrasha and nesina, the nesina being mamonis, the hafrasha being a maisa of Rosh. And that's really what's happening in this case.
Rashi doesn't need to be saying though that the bang would have to do with it myself. Rashi, you could interpret Rashi that way, but I don't think you have to. In the sense that you could say that, that yes, they're really two separate things, but the hafrasha never gets off the ground because there's no tilus of the chiyuv of mamon.
And why is that different than what about the father within who after Shloshim Yom who was mechuyev? Why didn't that work for him?
Why didn't he?
The father should even be better. It didn't work for the father apparently. The father was alive after 30 days. It wasn't considered a hafrasha and a sina. Just that had he chosen, he could have done that. So he's that
according to Rashi?
Yeah, that's what Rashi says. No, the inami yahi va'av. Have a mafresh lay. If the father had chosen to give, he would have been mafresh for shakal el nafshe. Dachoinu. The kim zacha avim pidyonu marisha libnom shar nachasa. Sounds like Rashi's saying that because the father could have chosen, that's why I say it's the second pshat. The first pshat is the father doesn't need to do anything. It's automatic because since it's mamo nashevet, it's mamo nashevet. End of story. So there is a chiyuv, but it's a chiyuv which is taken care of immediately. The nafkamina will be. And if there aren't Shloshim Yom though, so then the father never had the chiyuv such that it was niftar, as opposed to saying, but he's the child of a kohen who's pata legamri. We're not saying that. Being the child of a kohen in itself doesn't help you, right? Being a kohen after Lamed Yom makes an automatic
tour
of the chiyuv. But that's not what Rashi's saying. Rashi's saying, had he decided to actually do this before he died, even though it's after the Lamed Yom, let's say he dies on day number 35. So between 30 and 35 days, he could have done it. What would he have done? He would have been mafrish, and then he would have been zochah. So even though he didn't do that, but he was required to do that. He'd be required to do that, to be mafrish, and then zochah. Since he doesn't, but at least he's morish labanov, that when their child is mafrish, he can be zochah, as opposed to giving it to a kohen. He's not a kohen.
Right, I'm just saying that's an assumption.
So he's yoresh the dine mamonis part of the chiyuv. That's what Rashi seems to be saying.
I'm just saying, I think that's about one assumption of Rashi, that Rashi might be saying that it's still different for the father and the son. Because the father, the hypothetical situation of the father is that both things are still possible, right? Because there can be a hafrasha and the mamon can go to him. But in the case of the son,
why shouldn't your list require a function?
Because the chiyuv is already passed down after 30 days, right?
Right.
Because that theme has already happened, so in time we separated the hafrasha.
But I still don't see why the. I mean, you're suggesting that there doesn't have to be a hafrasha for the son.
That's what I'm saying.
For in Rashi.
Right.
But I just don't understand. Maybe I'm dismissing your point. Why is the son better than the father? He's morish mikoach his father, the dine mamonis part. But even the father, who clearly had more of a dine mamonis, remember, the father is a dine mamonis part because he's a card-carrying member of Shevet Kahuna. Right? The child is not. So the card-carrying member of Shevet Kahuna still has to do a hafrasha, but the child who's a Yisrael Gomor, and it's a huge chiddush that this applies, that he can be yoresh that, for anything from his father having to do with Kahuna. But he not only is yoresh that, but he doesn't have to do even hafrasha.
Because it's counterintuitive, but that's exactly the point. That since the father is the card carrying member of Shevet Kahuna, so it makes sense to do hafrasha, since he's going to be receiving.
Why does he need hafrasha though?
Well,
I'm saying mimonoshav. If the mamon kohanim, the fact that mamon kohanim is already taken care of, if that's the koveya, that's certainly true more for the father, as much or more for the father than it is for the son. Right.
Rashi agrees to the notion. We keep getting your picks up on that. There are two elements here. There's a prasha. We agree that Rashi.
I think so. That's what Rashi highlights.
Agree about that. So it's just that.
Can it be also that he can foil himself, and he gets the money back for Yerusha?
One could have said that, but Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi says because of that, he doesn't have to worry about the money part to begin with. But you're right. One could have said that. I'm saying in Rashi, I don't want to argue too much about it, but I think in Rashi, he doesn't say the words that he himself has to be mafresh, but I just don't see how he could be better than the father, which is what the Rosh says. I mean, the Rosh says it explicitly. And Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rosh as well. So I think in a way, the first pshat of the Gemara, which we were saying, is very matim. I'm not saying the Gro agrees to it, but it's very matim l'derech ha-Gro. And the second pshat is very matim, I agree, that's what I'm trying to highlight, l'derech Rabbi Kivei. There's a third pshat, and that is Tosas. Tosas asks the question here, about Tosa says here, Vetema, the Parakama de Kiddushin, I'm skipping three lines down for the top Tosas. In Kiddushin, the Gemara says that the woman is not obligated in Pidgin Aben, because she herself is not Nifdes, no one has to redeem her if she's the firstborn. And how do we know that that's so? And that's basically whoever is not subject to being redeemed by other people is not obligated to redeem themselves. So Tosa says, Tema de perkam de kiddushin gomina mitzvah saben ala avdar shinin tifta isha she'en acher mitzvah liftosa ena mitzvah liftosa atzma hochana mihai ben she'en acher mitzvah liftosa lo yehei chayim liftosa atzma. Why not to say that the son has no one to redeem him? So since there's no one to redeem him, lo yechayv liftos es atzmo. In other words, Tosa seems to be saying that there's no chiyuv. Because Tosa's answer is that there's a difference between the lo dami hai ben li isha, the lo shaykh pa shum av pidish. The case of the isha, right? There's never anyone to be poed to her, because there's no chiyuv to be poed on isha. Therefore, she's never has a chiyuv to be poed to anyone else. Aval hacha filu im haya av Yisrael, if he had a father who was a Yisrael, not a Kohen, haya chayav liftoso, he would be chayav. That's Tosis' answer. But we see from Tosis' discussion here that Tosis is not interpreting like Rashi or the Rush. Because how do you interpret like Rashi and the Rush? Basically, the halacha here is the zechiyuv of the father is a chiyuv too. The father is a chiyuv, but if he was mafrish, he would be zochim. Tosis is based on the assumption that the father never had a chiyuv. So that's the third pshat, the one that we're kind of hesitating to say. And that is, because he's a member of Shevet Kahuna, he's not mechuyev to begin with. Not that he's a mechuyev, but he is zochim. Not that he is mafrish and then being zochim. So these are three interpretations. The Rid al-Ghazi is very bothered by this Gemara anyway. Rid al-Ghazi says, according to Rashi and the Rush, so what happens? You make a hafrasha. Rid al-Ghazi understood it this way too. You make a hafrasha. The child makes a hafrasha, and then he keeps the Dmei Pidgin Aben. It's lachar la min yom when the father dies.
Who gets? The son.
The son keeps the money. He mafresh, he sets it, he says, here's the hay slaim for Pidgin Aben, and then he puts it back in his pocket. Right, because he's yorish from the father, the right to keep it. So the Rit al-Ghazi asks, he says, if we were talking about other matnos kahuna, like truma, or even zroach lechayim v'keva, the idea that there's a hafrasha separate from the nesina makes sense. Why? In the case of trumos, because it's kedushas kahuna, kedushas truma. The second you're mafresh, you take tambel, this is now chalos truma. Can't eat it, has the status of truma, right? Mishmeres Trumosa, you have to guard it from Tuma, right? Or Zro L'chaim V'keva. Zro L'chaim V'keva, we know what they are. They're specific parts of the animal's body in the korban, which go to the Kohen. So the second that you separate them from the animal, there's Zro L'chaim V'keva. But when it comes to Heis Loim L'pidgin Aben, says the Marit al-Ghazi, this whole idea of Rashi and the Rush, which is your mouth fresh, and then you put it in your pocket. But if you don't give it to the Kohen, how do we know that there's a chalos hafrasha? It's not kadosh, like truma, and it's not these specific sloim as opposed to any other sloim. It's not like Zerah L'chaim V'keva. So who says that there can be a hafrasha, I believe? Now I think it's more, he asked it as a question. He's very bothered by it. Again, Mashal Amad Avdom, I'll give you another example where this comes up. The Machne Ephraim, the famous Machne Ephraim, in Hukos Zechiyah. The Gemara in But Metzia, the first parak, speaks about Takfa Kohen. Let's say a Kohen grabs a Matnas Kahuna. Motzi in Miyad or Imotzi in Miyad. One of the most famous Gemaras ever. Right? Whether if the Kohen grabs the Matnas Kahuna, does he have the right to keep it or not? So the Machne Ephraim says, what will happen in Pidgin Aben? Let's say the Kohen grabs Pidgin Aben. So he says, even if you hold in general that a Kohen who grabs Matnas Kahuna in Motzi in Miyad, Pidgin Aben will be different. Why? Same reason. Because there really is no chalos Pidgin Aben. And the truth is, as we also point out, the Mishnah says, that there's a chiyuv achrayus in Pidgin Aben. Meaning, until the money comes to the reshus of the Kohen, right? There's no mitzvahs nesina. You haven't completed the mitzvah. It gets lost after your mafresh, before you actually give it to the kohen. You're chayav achrayis. Why? Because no chalos hey sloim shall pidgin a ben perhaps until that point. So in every other matnas kahuna, you can say there's truma. Oh, she grabbed it. The only question there is tovas hana. In other words, I have the right to give it to whichever kohen I want. Tovas hana is mamon. Tovas hana is lav mamon. That's a debate. I mean, is that considered a monetary value or in bailus? Even if it's monetary value, is it bailus in yon davar zeh or not? And that's the question. That's the discussion of Tosfos in Bava Metzia also about that, about Tovas Hana. But when it comes to Pidgin Aben, which is Chayav Bachrayas, and there's no Chalos, and there's no, it's not treated differently, it's not a specific, it's not that any of these Hesloim any more than any other Hesloim in my wallet. Except maybe if they're 99.9, you know, silver from the mint. So, but even then, Shava Kesef really works. It's not as much fun. So the Machan Ephraim says, so for sure, Motzim, Miyada. Until you give it to the Kohen, it's nothing. There's a certain irony in Pidgin Aben. On the one hand, Shibudim and Chiv. But it's not a problematic irony. Maybe it's a consistent irony. Until you actually give it, nothing has happened. So they're saying, if that's the case, this whole idea that you can have chalos, hafrasha, belina sina, which is what you have here in this sugya, according to Rashi and the Rush, not according to the two other pshat.
Maybe Rashi and Rush are just in the context of a kohen. Maybe they don't mean that there's a real ma'aseh
hafrasha. Oh, so let me take it a step further. Well, there is a hafrasha. I mean, the Rush certainly says it's hafrasha, and Rashi says it's hafrasha for the kohen himself, for the father. What we were debating before is whether the son can be better than the father. But there is a hafrasha. But I would say differently.
Yeah.
Where there is an issue of mamon koanim and achrayus, so that is ma'akev. That's what. There is no chalos hafrasha because the hafrasha is bound up with the nesina or the kabbalah. But here's a case. But here's a case where you've eliminated the dinei mamon as part of it completely, because it's already mamon hasheved. It was Mamon HaShevet for the father, and he's Marisha Labanov. So all there is here is Hafrasha. That's if the Kohen, like the Machan Ephraim, if the Kohen grabs, he has no right to grab, because from a Dinei Mamana's point of view, you can give it to any Kohen you want. It's more than Tovas Hana, because it's not Dafka these Heislaim. But where you've eliminated Nesina of a Kabbalah and Achrayas completely, maybe there is a Chalos Hafrasha. The reason that Hafrasha is not enough in the other cases is because it's an integrated mitzvah, and there's also a din of nesina. But where the nesina part is neutralized, then all you have is the hafrasha. The hafrasha is chal. It may not be identifiable like zroa l'kayim v'keva, but it also doesn't have the ikuv of achrayas and nesina, because it's shal going. Which is why, again, just to repeat one other thing, Marit al-Ghazi said, based on this Gemara, oh, every time you have a suffix, you should do a hafrasha. Right? Again, so this is the same Marit al-Ghazi who's bothered by, you know, why does Hafrasha even work in Pidgin Aben? He's pretty saying, if it works, then you should be able to do it all the time. But the answer may be, here you can have a Chalos Hafrasha and you can answer his first question precisely because there is no Dine Mamanis obstacle or problem. But where there is, then he's totally right and there's no Chalos Hafrasha at all. So it wouldn't help you, Misafe. Because misafek, where there is mimonavshach, if there's a din of Pidgin Aben, there's a din of the sina. The suffix that we talk about in Pidgin Aben, Motzav Chorel Avaraya, is whether he's a bechor who requires pidgin. If he does, then there's the nesinas mamon part two. But if that's not integrated, then there's no chalos afrasha. It's only in this case where you've eliminated the mamon part, or it's implicit in there already, however you want to formulate it, that you can have a chalos afrasha. So ironically, the two haros in the Marit al-Ghazi, A, why does Hafrasha work at all? B, why not, maybe you should do Hafrasha every time you have a safek? In a way, they're both canceled out by pointing out that this case is different. This is a case of Pidgin Aben b'mamon shalashevet already. That's why here and only here can you have, if you can have, the din of Hafrasha. Now the Gemara here says, I'm going to stop soon, and we'll try to finish up the rest of this next time. But At least let me get to two other points quickly. The Gemara here has another possibility, and that is Asina mikoach gabra delamotis l'shtayu yedina behadeh. Very fascinating. The Gemara says if the father dies within 30 days, maybe that also should be patur mipidjan aben. Right? We paskin not. We paskin if the father dies within 30 days, even if he's a kohen, then the child cholo has to be podas out. That's a psak halach. But what would be the idea to say that, that it would make a difference? So the Gemara says this idea, the son will say, Asina mikoach gaber delamatis lishtayu dina bade. I'm coming, you know, in the background of someone who you couldn't get the pidyon aben money from. Okay. And then the Gemara says, no, this is not true. After all, we see from Akum, if the father's an Akum, we see that parasa shelo b'kedusha v'leidasa b'kedusha, there is pidyon aben. Even though the father is somebody mikoach abba, had it not been for the Gemara's connection to that, I would have thought that asina mikoach gavra de loboy lishtawi yaminei might mean one of the things that we said before, which is if the father is a Kohen, then even if the child is a Yisrael, there's simply no chiyuv pidyon aben. It's hard to say that once the Gemara applies it to Goy. Even within Goy, there's an interesting argument, as we already noted. Rashi says, what's the low ishtawi dina minei de lo tzayisle? Rabbi Gershom says, the ein lo chayas, the mufka, there is no father. Okay. Either way, this is where Tosis asks the question, you know, what about Isha and so on? What is this idea of asina mikoach gavra de lo bois ishtawi edina mina? So I think what it highlights in the extreme is the idea that, again, we paskin, I mean, the halach, everybody agrees, that the father is chayev to be poda the son. But if not, then he's poda satzma. The question that we have to ask is, what is the relationship between those two halachos? And we've already touched on it. One could have said that really the chiyuv is the chiyuv of the child. And certainly if it's a din of chiluf kedusha, he's the one who's not going to be oved b'mikdash, it's really his chiyuv. But the father is his Torah made him a shliach, made him an apotropos, maybe even better way to say it. He put him in charge of discharging this of his son's obligations. In that sense, it would be like some of the other things on the list in the Mishnah. The child's obligation to get married, but the father has to be masi loisha. But clearly, it's not the father's obligation. It's his obligation, it's his responsibility on behalf, right, to facilitate his son's obligation. Or, you could say the opposite. Maybe pidyon aben really is different. It's really a chiyuv of the father. Especially if we take the view that it's a din of reishis. You know, that's his first, reishis ono. That's his firstborn. It's his chiyuv, not the child's. On the contrary. Well, how do you explain the child if that's the case? Either one could say the child, there are two dinim. There could be more than one din of pidyon aben. There are three parshios, or four. From a chiluf point of view, that's his problem. From the rachis point of view, it's his father's problem. There are two dinim. Or one could even say that even when the child is being podes atzmo, essentially what he's doing is continuing his father's obligation. It's the opposite of what we said in the first possibility. Not that the father's doing for the son. It's the father's obligation which the son carries on his behalf. So if we take that view, it's really all the father's obligation. And Torah always speaks about it as the father, as the son's father's obligation. Tifte, padot tifte, etc. So then one can understand maybe this idea of mikoach abba delotzayis deloiboish tawi mina azilna. You know, what they're really saying here is, listen, lamaisa, I don't have to pay because my father wouldn't have to pay. He's not here anymore, and it's my chiyuv. It is my chiyuv, but it's my chiyuv carrying out his obligation.
Would Besdin have any role here in assuming the obligation?
It's a very good question. So again, that goes back to the Shach and the Taz. We have no evidence of it. The Rama says no. The Taz said when the father's alive, Besdin can substitute for the father. When the child is a katan, they can't. But it's for reasons of etc. But in this idea of like in you know, in loco parentis kind of idea, which we find in Gerus or in Tzedakah, you know, that you know, Bezin Abiyim shall Yisomim, is something to consider. The Gemara might be mechad, just like grandparents we talked about, you know, Bnei Banim Kibanim and Avi Aviyim Ka'aba, but it may be connected to this. This issue of this problem. So that could be the question, and if that's the case, it also could explain something else. A lot of Achronim were bothered. This idea of Mikoach Gavra Delo Motzi Shtayim in Kazilna appears here, and it seems to be Machlokes, and it appears earlier in Dafyin Aleph in a different context. Right? If a guy gets, he buys Tvua from a non Jew, and the question of whether or not he can keep the Dinei Mamonis once he's mafrish. So there the Gemara says, yeah, he can keep it if he did the transaction, if he bought it early. And he can do so because he says, Mikoach gavra d'lo batzi lishtawiyah mina azil. So some achronim are bothered. How come there it's mekubal? And here it's a machlokas, and we paskin against it. And we paskin that concept, and here we don't. So it could very well be that it depends on how mufka that person is, number one. And number two, whether it's a taina bialma, or whether the point is that you're just continuing the legacy of that individual. That could explain differences between the application of this idea in different contexts. Okay, let me say one other thing.
Can you just elaborate for one second why there's such a strong taina here notion? In other words, if it's really the list of the father, why would it?
So what he's saying is, I'm continuing my father's obligation, but you wouldn't have gotten anything from my father.
I'm just saying a righteous obligation. It's the father, then it's not the son's.
Meanwhile, he shouldn't have to do it at all.
Right.
He's doing it, but Torah's b'koach of his father.
I'm asking, why is this myth the one that we...
why do we do that here? I think because there still is a status of Beno. I mean, you still want him to be padui. In the end of the day, there is maybe a chalos, you know, ben padu, which he's not going to be. Again, the Rebbe Chaya says this in a very radical way in Parshas Kisisa. They talk about the connection between Aliyah L'Regel and Pidgin Aben, right, in Psukim. So he says, because you can't do Aliyah L'Regel, be B'makom Kadosh, until you first take care of Pidgin Aben. There's some other indications of it as well. I mean, there's a chalos. But no pod pigeon in the child itself. That's something that has to be addressed. But it could still be that I'm doing that. It's my father's obligation, which I'm carrying out, as opposed to stamacho over the father. I think it's a very good point that you're making, and I'll try to demonstrate it in one other context before we adjourn, and then we'll continue with the other marmakomas next time. Also, for next time, try to do, again, we'll do as much as we'll go as far as we can, but try to do a little bit on the maisa pigeon issues also. Particularly, one that highlights is the question of shtar admei. The Mishnah here on it's all these cases that they discuss. Ein podim lo bavanim lo b'shtar lo b'karkos lo b'kdesha. Cost of the coin shu chayiv litin chamisha slime is a big discussion in the Rishonim. Nun aleph amid aleph. So the Gemara here, also the Gemara in and Rashi and Rajba on hey amid aleph in Kedushin, very famous discussion. And the Rajba refers to his comments on tezayin also in Eved Ivri. In Kiddusha. That's very important. And if you get a chance, there's a tshuva of the Beis Halevi about it. Also, Matana Menas Lahachzir, the Gemara in Kiddusha of Vavman Beis, I want to discuss briefly. And Ladidi Shabali, the Gemara in Kiddusha of Chesam and Aleph. We'll do whatever we can. Again, we're not going to finish everything, but we'll do what we can. I want to finish on one other note. The Gemara here on Mem Chesam and Aleph, the Mishnah, Mishnah Bichra Yishto Vyalda Shnei Zacharim, Nosen Heisloim Bekoin. Okay. So the Gemara here records the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. Right? What is that case? So the Gemara says, "Demei saav emas." He lemed demei saachar lamid yom. B'ha'amar Meir ki chilku pturim. This is one of the Gemaras that says that there's shibud the chasim. So if the father died after 30 days, even if the children already, you know, broke up the Yerusha, there still should be pidgin aben from the nechasim of the father, because they're nechasim the Shibadim, and there is Shibud, this is a Gemara that says it's a Shibud opinion of Ben. The Gemara proves it then later on in the Nala Pumid Beis, which we'll get back to. From Aliyah Lerega. Ella demes betoch lamidyo. So it must be that the father died before the Chiyuv Pidyon HaBen, within 30 days. So maishno ki chilku, da'ozol agabe hayu madchi, da'ozol agabe hayu madchi. So why only if they broke up the estate? Ki lo chilku nami, lezol agabe hayu lidchi, lezol agabe hayu lidchi. Because the father doesn't have the Chiyuv, because he died within 30 days. And since he died within 30 days, so even if the children didn't split up the estate doesn't have the chiyuv of Pidyon HaBen representing the father, because the father never had the chiyuv. That's the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah Zal Sameres, Shnei Yosef and Shimon Shoyu Be'ir Achas, V'lakchu Son of Peshutfus, Balcho Govach Osa Mehem. Darmalei B'didach Masikna, Manta Didach Kasher Kilna, Ibechavrech Masikna, Manta Dechavrech Kasher Kilna. So the Gemara says, Amar Rava Mechdi, Nixit Barini Shinin Arvayin, So basically the Gemara says, we're talking about a case where it's La'achar Lamed, and La'achar Lamed, the question is whether Milva Ksuv B'Torah Ksuv B'Shtar, or whether or not you can be Gove Min HaLekuchos, or only Min HaYarshim. There's those Shibudim questions. Or the question is a question of Chamesh Shloim V'lo Chatzi Chamesh, if he has the exact five Shloim, and only one of them are mechuyev, so you don't have the exact amount. Then the Gemara goes and repeats the whole thing. I'm not going to read it because it's repetitive. The Gemara says it for Rabbi Yehuda, and then they say v'kula kalishna kama up to the Mishnah. Good. This is a very fascinating Gemara. The simple reading of the Gemara is that everybody agrees within 30 days, if the father dies, that their nechasim mishubadim will not help. The Rambam paskins differently. The Rambam in Perek Yud Aleph, just let me quote it for a minute, and then we'll finish up for the day. Rambam in Perek Yud Aleph, here it is, Hilchos Bikurim Halach Achav, Mishlo Bichor Ishto V'Yodel Zocha or the Cave of Einadu Ezame Miyotza Rishon Ein Kan Lekoin Klon Yodel Shnei Zachar Mapa Bishen Yadu Ezame Abachor Nosen Hei Sloi Meis Echad Mehem Betoch Lam Ad Yom Pater Shavotu Mechaber Al Maraya Meis Ha'av Bein Toch Lam Ad Yom Bein Achar Lam Ad Yom. See already? If the father dies even within the 30 days, Bein shelo chilku ha'achim, bein shechilku, yinasei min hanachasim chamesh sloim l'kohen, shekvar nischaivu hanachasim. Wow. Shekvar nischaivu hanachasim. So, question is, what's going on here? That's against the Gemara. So the Kesemisha says, the Rambam read the Gemara differently. The Rambam read that the whole Shakar V'Tari in the beginning of the Gemara is only within Rav Meir. But for Rabbi Yehuda thinks that even within 30 days there's Nechasim Mishubadim. Then the second day the Gemara says that the discussion is within Rabbi Yehuda, and we paskin like, that's a Kesem Mishnah, we paskin like Lishna Kama, that according to the whole discussion is Rav Meir, and therefore according to Rabbi Yehuda, within 30 days there can be Shibud Nechasim. The question is, what's going on here? Good, so that's how the Rambam reads the Gemara, but where's the Svara? So here we find I think two possible approaches. One is the Marit al Ghazi. So the Marit al Ghazi al Atar says this Rambam is Lishitasa. Why? Mentioned before that the Rambam has another maverick psak. Rambam says the Machoksin Rav and Shmuel, if the pidyon takes place within 30 days but the money is gone by the 30th day, kvar nisachlu amos, right, with an ayin. So what happens, is the pigeon chal or not? So the Gemara seems to say explicitly that we pass like Shmuel, even though it is Isuri, and we pass like Shmuel that the pigeon is not chal. However, as I mentioned before, the Rambam either didn't have that girsa or whatever, the Rambam paskens like Rav, that Bno is Padui. So the Marit al-Ghazi says, the Rambam's Lishitasa. We have two maverick Perushim, Psakim with the Rambam. The Lishitasa. The Lishitasa is, the Rambam holds, that within 30 days, there is a chalos, there is at least a, he doesn't say it this way, but there's a Maisa pigeon aben, even if there isn't a chalos pigeon aben. Where he puts it is, well, he has to say it more sharply to apply it this way. Where he puts it is, the problem of Shloshim Yom is only a problem of Chayshina L'Nefel. But Lui Yitzuyer, there's no Nefel, Pidgin Oben would be Mechuyiv immediately. Now the truth is, as we mentioned, in Parshas Bo, they don't even mention Shloshim Yom. Shloshim Yom was only brought in Bamidbar. You might say, oh, that's a detail. Fundamentally, Pidgin Oben, right? It's based on the Nes. Again, if you're talking about the Chiluf Leviim, maybe that's Shloshim Yom. Because the Leviim are also counted by Shloshim Yom. Could be that it's dependent on that. But certainly from a Makos Bechoros point of view, from Parshas Bo, where it isn't mentioned, so Lamed Yom is just a Chashash Nefel.
And in fact, it's true with the Haman, that their Chamor is also dispersed.
Okay. The point is that, what's he trying to say? That basically, he says, oh, this is like, you know, like the Rashis. Like Rashi seems to say in a few places, that the problem of Lamed Yom is only a problem of Nefel, and Bali Tosfos always say no. There's no Chiyuv Kodem Lamed Yom. It's not just a Nefel issue. The question of Trefa, again, we still have to, it's part of the Marba Komos we didn't get to. We'll hopefully get to this Wednesday. First of all, the things that we've assigned, and then we'll try to go further. Point is, that according to Rid al-Ghazi, this Psak of the Rambam is based on that same idea, that the Lamed Yom is not really a ma'akev in the chiyuv, and even in the chalos, it's just that you need the birur of lamed yom for nefel. Therefore, the chiyuv av applies. That's one approach, and so that's why the Rambam Shitaso, because the Rambam holds that even if nisachlu amos, since the child is not a nefel, going bilsul mafrei, there's a proper pigeon earlier. However, the truth is that one could interpret that even Rav doesn't really hold that exactly. What Rav may really hold is what I said before, which is, Gemara is discussing, even if there can't be a chalos pigeon aben tochlamid, can there be a maisa pigeon aben tochlamid? The Gemara compares it to mekadesh isha lakar lamid yom, which works afil nisachlu amos. So the Gemara, so Shmuel said to Rav, yeah, but that's because if you want, you can be mekadesh and isha with a chalos immediately. You choose to delay it. That's not comparable to a situation where you have to delay it. Okay, we'll discuss it more fully next time, but what's going on? It could be that this is the discussion. Mekadesh isha la'achar lamed yom. So, certainly the chalos is la'achar lamed yom. Is the maisa la'achar lamed yom too? Or is the maisa immediate and just the chalos is la'achar lamed yom? The Gemara discusses it in Kiddushin, in terms of Dibur Mavatal Dibur, or Dibur Mavatal, is that considered Dibur Mavatal Dibur, or Dibur Mavatal Maisa? It's a Maisa B'lichalos. What is that? Or is it even a delayed Maisa? It's just held in abeyance, it's not even a Maisa till then. Kolsa Kinyano means there has to be a remnant of the Kinyan at the time of the Chalos. But that's a Mitzaref between an earlier Maisa and a later Chalos. That's what Kolsa Kinyano is, or Kolsa Kinyano means that the real Maisa is also Bismara Chalos. It's just you don't have to do it physically again. It's hanging there. It's ready to go. So it could be this is the discussion between Rav and Shmuel. Right? How do you understand the case in Kiddushin? Or, in Pidgin Aben, is it only Mufka Michalos, Tol Chlamid Yom? Or even, and Michiyuv maybe? Or even Bimaisa? Although, certainly, one could go even a step further and say something like Marin Al-Ghazi. But if you don't, the point is, there's plenty of leeway even within Rav not to have to conclude that you can have any kind of chiyuv, real chiyuv, toklam b'diyom. Just that Shmuel may say you can't even have a maisa, and Rav says you can have a maisa as long as the chiyuv and the chalos is later. Moreover, the Rav emphasizes the language of the Mishnah here, which is that the chiyuv of the nechasim. And if the Marit al-Ghazi was right, it's not really a din in the Nechasim. His Chiyuv also existed within 30 days. Just as the problem of Nefel, and going Milsa Afreya, there's no Nefel problem. So it's possible to suggest another pshat. And I once saw this quote, I'm trying to remember where I saw it already, but it is in the, it's the Avnei Nezer, but I remember, I didn't see it directly, originally. The Avnei Nezer in Yoredeya, Simen, like Reish Samaches or something, has a different suggestion. He says, Mitzvahs habein al-av, the Mishnah in Kedusha. Right, so as we discussed before, well, what's the nature of that? So before we were speaking in extremes, it's really a chiv in the child, but the father takes responsibility. He's like an apotropos, shliach, to make sure that the child discharges. Or it's total chiv of the father, just it's vis-a-vis the child. Or he's just a shliach. It could be something in between. It's really the father's obligation, right, on behalf, not just where his son is a cheftza, or the hechatimtzi, but on behalf of his son. In other words, it's a category. Chiva av al ben, or chiva ben al av. So the point is, the chasim mishubadim in general, that work in pidgin aben, from the father. It could be that this is an idea. Let me take a step back. The fact is that in many mitzvos, we have the rule that ein mitzvos or ein kiyum mitzvos la'achar misa. Whenever the shibudim, or if there isn't shibudim, there's hafrasha mechayim that works la'achar misa, that's an exception to that rule. Why? What is the pattern? When the exception, when the rule? So it seems like anytime you have a straight personal chiyuv, it's very difficult to continue that lachar misa. Maybe hafrasha mechayim would help because that goes back to the moment of the mitzvah or the personal mitzvah itself. But lusa yidei shibudim, because like we said before, you're being poreya mina arev, not mina yourself. Especially if you take that view. Right? We're talking about the grah. Right? The grah says, I can prove to you that some third party can pay the pidgin aben, because you can do it with shibud also. Shibud's an arev. That's the Gemara says above Basra. It's a third party. So I said, well, I'm not so sure. Number one, an arev isn't such a third party, according to everybody. And even if he is, maybe shibudim are a different kind of arev. Fine. But the point is as follows. There are some chiyuvim that require the personal touch. Even the ones that are nitan the shlichos, but they require at least that you be alive. That's a chiyuv, the rami, a karkaf, the gav. About them, you wouldn't say shibudim. There's no shibud to give tzedakah l'achar misascha. Unless it was a chiyuv that existed while you were alive already and turned into a chiyuv mama, but not for the next appeal. What chiyuvim can continue achar misa? Ones that are mitzuruf to you at bechayim, that may be where ifrisha comes into play, or where your chiyuv isn't about yourself, your chiyuv is connected to someone else who's alive. That's what the Avnei Nezer says. Avnei Nezer says the din of the chiyuv haben al av in this case, it's not shlichus. And it's not a chiyuv av gamer either. It's a chiyuv av vis-a-vis the well-being of his child. So I saw somebody said, based on this Avnei Nezer, that's a pshat in the Rambam. Rambam's saying here that even lachar misa, inochanami, betok shloshim yom, there's no chalos, pidgin aben. But the shibud, according to Rabbi Huda, applies lachar misa because, and this is the language of the Mishnah, and this language of the Rambam's Medayik, the nechasim are mishabed. Meaning, it's not a chiva karkafta de gavra didei, and it's not shlichus for the child. It's his obligation to his son, to his son's well-being, and his son's being padui. So his nechasim are mishubad to that, even lachar misaso. So that also may be the pshat in the Marit in Kedusha. When the Gemara talks about who is first, who, him or Beno? Right. So Rabbi Yirmiyah says that if you have five slime Bnei Chori and five slime Mishubadim, if you only have five slime Bnei Chori, nothing else, clearly Beno Kod. But if you have five Bnei Chori, five Mishubadim, then that's where the issue is argued. And that's where Rabbi Yehuda says that Bno Kodem L'Atzma. So what does that mean? Why, in other words, you can take the Nechas of Mishubadim and you could use that for Pidjan Mitzad Aviv, that's Bno, and the Atzmo will be Bibnei Char. So there's big machlokas are shown him to understand why that should be so. Rashi and Kedushin and Tosas and Kedushin, which we'll get to next week. Then on Wednesday when we finish this up, we'll start with that maybe. But the Marit in Kedushin, again, it's a well-known shita. Marit has the following idea. Marit says the pshat is if there are nechasim mishubadim from the father, then you'll use that for pidyon b'no. For pidyon atzmo, which is b'no, in other words. And then you use the rest for pidyon b'no. Mm-hmm. Why? Because the nechasim mishubadim are like the father's continuing act of pidyon aben. The fact that there can be shibudim la'achar misa in pidyon aben is a function of the fact that it's not a father has to do it like the Ramah, you know, biyad. But it's a chiyuv klape b'no, for which his estate, mamono, mechayim, also is dead. It's part of his obligation to his child. That continues. So what the Gemara is saying, according to the Marit, the Bali Tosis, Mem Tesson Beis, don't read it this way. Rashi certainly doesn't read this way, Mem Tesson Beis. Rashi and Kedushin doesn't read this way. But the way the Marit reads the Gemara is, what the Gemara is saying is, the Nechasim Mishubadim are uniquely, like that's what Tosis asks the question. Step back for a second. Tosis says, you have Nechasim Mishubadim, so the Lekuchos will complain. They'll say, you know, on what basis are you paying off that chiyuv and not the other chiyuv? Right? Pay the chiyuv of the father, you know, with the Bnei Chori, because whenever the Chasim Mishubadim and Bnei Chori, you have to pay Bnei Chori before the Mishubadim, because you can't be Poreim and Arev Tchila. That's what Tosis asks. And then there's nothing to talk about, because the Mishubadim don't work for Atzma. That's Tosis' question here on Mem Tes on the base. That's what Tosis says. So it's talking about the case where the pidyon of the child is first. So there's no longer any Bnei Chorin by the time you get to the Mishubadim, so they can't complain. But in Achanami, if he had a two in front of him, the Mishubadim people would be able to complain, the Lokuchos would be able to say, you can't take the Mishubadim for that. You have to take the Bnei Chorin. According to the Marit, that's not the case. The Marit's saying, basically, it's true, I control my father's estate and the Nechasar of Mishubadim from the father, but basically what we're talking about is two different obligations here. Right? One is my obligation to my son, and the other is my father's obligation to his son. So when the Lekuchos say, you don't have the right to take our property, Mishubadim, take the Bnei Chori. You'll say, I can't take the Bnei Chori, I'm really sorry, because that's my father's obligation. I'm doing my obligation to my child, and the priorities that he, you know, Bekeber, continues to do his obligation to me. There's no Bnei Chori for the father, but the idea is that the father's obligation through the Shibudim continue. So that would justify this dichotomy. Okay, we'll stop here. What I want to finish with next time is we still have more on the father and the son, a little more to do. And then we want to do Shibudim and the 30 days, and then I want to do some of the pidyon issues, and we'll get in as much as we can. So we'll start around, what did I say? 11? Around 11, I'll try to be.
Go ahead.